piping porridge. Here's to the biscuit tot. Here's to the java flowing like lava out of the coffee pot. Here's to the eggs and bacon. Here's to the waffles unique. And here's three rousing cheers for the best meal of the week. For it's Sunday morning, breakfast time, the time all men adore.
Hi, I'm John Jackson.
And I'm Greg Patton.
And we're the food guys. One of our favorite writers about food is Mark Bittman of the New York Times, and he had an interesting report recently on breeding of bacteria on factory farms. It's somewhat scary.
It's a very scary
read.
However, let us make sure that people know that most bacteria are beneficial
yes,
for us.
Yes, we need bacteria.
The problem with the word bacteria, it has become a bad word.
As
and yet we really depend on bacteria to help us digest food, yeah. And they protect us. We have a lot of good bacteria. It's just that when we get into the agricultural nature of how animals are raised, and of course they have bacteria, but then they have to be treated with antibiotics because they tend to attract several breeds of quote-unquote bad bacteria, which then gets to be uncontrollable, creates all kinds of problems, not only for us, but for them as well.
Well, here's the problem. Many of these animals are treated with antibiotics as just a general daily course.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening is that some of the varieties of bacteria that cause disease in humans are reacting to this treatment and become resistant to antibiotics.
Yes.
That resistance creates a problem for the humans who consume this food later on.
Right, because if it's resistant, then you can't use an antibiotic to kill the bad bacteria.
That's right. Yes, and here's what has happened. Antibiotic resistance is difficult enough, but now there's many more new kinds, and they're better at warding off this attack by antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're getting transferred to humans. Not all
from the
bacteria
animals
can be
mm-hmm.
transferred readily, but
mm-hmm.
more and more of them are becoming transferable.
Mm-hmm.
And the situation is, as Mark Bittman says, demonstrably dire.
Demonstrably dire.
I hate that phrase.
The answer, I would say, is that if one is going to be eating meat products, that you simply cannot afford to buy meats from producers that are treating their animals with these antibiotics.
That's problematic. When you see, for instance, as he's pointing out here, the Food and Drug Administration has a report that about 10% of all chicken breasts sold at retail
mm-hmm.
are contaminated with a form of salmonella that's resistant to at least
one antibiotic
right. And possibly more. And nearly half of all chicken that's sold is contaminated with antibiotic-resistant Campylobacter.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the antibiotics in question are used to treat sick people, and they're being used daily in raising livestock. Now, I mean, that creates a real problem.
It's totally insane.
Especially since other studies have been done that demonstrate that situations in which hogs or cattle are being raised, they don't see this incidence of resistance in the animals, as long as these animals are not being treated by antibiotics, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting thing. But when they're being raised in this factory system, it's exacerbated and it's getting to be potentially a dangerous situation.
Every time one cooks with chicken, we're warned always to scrub your boards
mm-hmm.
with soap and water after you've handled chicken. Wash your hands thoroughly. Cook your chicken thoroughly, and then you should be okay. I just find it really disheartening that we have to be so concerned about literally where the food comes from because of the way these animals are raised and treated. And then we've created this totally artificial system.
Yes, we have.
Which we never had before when we had small growers, and they didn't treat with antibiotics because they didn't have them. They treated the animals well. The animals were not penned up and fed measured amounts of food. They were allowed to roam around in the grass. Grass-fed animals are probably a lot healthier than corn-fed ones, which is usually during the last few weeks or months of their lives that they're put into these pens and then fed corn, which is no good for them.
No.
It's terrible for the digestive systems. Cows are not meant to be eating corn, but it causes marbling and it causes the muscles to have fat, and fat carries flavor. So people love that. Grass-fed beef is getting extremely delicious now, and I think that the livestock growers who are actually raising grass-fed beef, they're learning what grasses work best.
Uh-huh.
The meat is much more flavorful. It's leaner, so you have to be more careful how you cook it, but I think it's a healthier meat.
There's also an associated difficulty with this program, industrial raising, which is that the workers who are involved in producing these animals themselves are endangered.
They're picking up these resistance strains.
Yes. It's fraught with difficulties. We don't absolutely require this industrial system
to feed
our population,
no.
Which is the implication of everything that we've been told about.
Well, the drug companies say system. That we are dependent on them. And of course, the farmers that are raising thousands and thousands of all forms of cattle have bought into this. Things have to change. But the FDA is doing nothing.
They're doing almost nothing, and they come up with suggested guidelines, but even those guidelines aren't being pressed. They've got to come up with actual laws that regulate this. This is the only way out of it, unless we change our system.
Well, it has
entirely.
To come from the people, and then, of course, the people will demand it, and then the legislators will have to then act on it, and then maybe something will be done.
Well, we'll keep our fingers on it and report what happens.
Yeah.
I'm not too sanguine about the future of industrial raising of things.
On that cheery note.
On that cheery note, I'll tell you, be sure and come back next week for the latest bulletin from the Food Guys.
Food Guys.